New major evidence secured in the FBI conspiracy probe.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Let's open up them phone lines. Let's do that right now. There they are, 1-800-684-3110. No, again, not a rerun. There is more evidence. There's new stuff breaking. We're coming in hot today with a lot of breaking news and a just jam-packed show. Will Haynes is joining me in studio, as always, but we've got John Solomon from Just the News coming up next, followed by Mike Pompeo, followed by Rick Grinnell. So you're going to want to stay tuned. It is going to be packed with experts. You're not going to want to miss this. Of course, a lot of you are just joining us right now to discuss what these documents are. What is this moment? What is this new evidence? And, of course, this also does come from a report from our friends at Just the News. So we're going to break that down coming up in the next segment with John Solomon. But, Will, give us a brief.
That's right. So yesterday we talked about the reporting from John Solomon at Just the News that there was this grand conspiracy investigation that's going on at the FBI looking all the way back to 2016 and 2015, really, when the Russiagate hoax kind of started, as well as the investigation into Hillary Clinton's email server and issues surrounding that. And that they're looking in to see if this is a grand conspiracy by former DOJ and Intel community.
Is grand conspiracy a technical term? Or are you just saying grand conspiracy?
That's how he categorized it and put it in quotes. So I feel like that is what the source was telling him.
It's a very national treasure. It's a grand conspiracy.
But they're saying that this is a, you know, a multi-year, almost a decade-long conspiracy by members within the DOJ, the Intel community, and others in the deep state to influence elections and get favorable outcomes for their preferred candidates, namely Democrats in this case, and against President Trump. Today we're learning that a big key part of that could be the evidence that Kash Patel and Dan Bongino found in the FBI headquarters that was in what they're describing as almost like a vault or a lockbox, that there was evidence related to things like Russiagate that was hidden even from internal FBI
servers.
This
is national treasure-style stuff.
Right.
They're looking through Mission Impossible. They find a lockbox. They got to bust it open. They open up this lockbox. What's in it?
Steel dossier.
All the dossier. It's actually made of steel.
Right. That was the thing that changed there is that Steel dossier wasn't referring to Christopher Steele. No. It was referring to the box that hold it, which actually tells us whole big grand conspiracy.
So, all right. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Again, we're going to break down a lot today because we do have John Solomon in the next segment. We've got Mike Pompeo following that. And then later in the broadcast, we have Rick Grinnell. We also have a funny a bit we'll talk about with Mike Pompeo where it seems like the tone that may have changed from President Trump to his feelings in Ukraine. And look, we've been talking about this. We talked about it with Mike Pompeo earlier this week, saying, you know, it felt like President Trump's coming around to being a little bit more supportive of this war in Ukraine. What's happening here? Well, maybe, like a lot of smart people, he listens to his wife. And what happened? We'll play some of that clip a little bit later. Again, phone lines are open for you as we celebrate our 35 years of justice drive. These are big moments, everybody. If you want us to be here for you, not just in the law, by the way, a lot of you watch us for your news. A lot of you watch us for the media side. I want you to give today. Understand that's really important because, you know, I'll be honest, Will and I are consistently in conversations with our team, and we want to make sure we can keep you informed and that this just doesn't only become an infomercial where we're out there promoting and saying, please give us money for our work. We know so many of you tune into this show as your daily news or as your daily media source. And we appreciate that. And I know that. I look at the numbers. Millions of you join us each and every week. So if just a few million of you could just chip in a little bit right now during our 35 years of justice drive, ACLJ.org/35. Have your donation made today. And look, if it's made today, I'll make sure it is allocated in the sense of saying, this is for this media, this is for this show, because we know how important it is that we are here for you. Phone lines, like I said, are open because though we're going to hear from former secretaries of state, former ambassadors, so many different leaders, top newsmen. The most important voice is always yours. So give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Right back with John Solomon from Just the News.
Yeah. In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation. They're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Welcome back to Seculo. Like I said, we got a jam-packed show, and we're going to jump straight to John Solomon from Just the News. John, yesterday we were reporting on your report because you had an exclusive breakdown of what was going on with this potential investigation coming from the FBI that could really kind of blow the doors down, it feels like, according to your sources, for a lot of issues that could all be tied together in this sort of grand conspiracy, as being said. And of course, even more has come out today from your site, including this maybe lockbox or this safe that was found that may even have more incriminating documents. John, I'll let you take it from here and let us know what's going on.
Yeah, Logan, I think this is a really big deal. The FBI opened up about 3 months ago what they call a grand conspiracy case, which looks at the last 10 years of weaponization as one ongoing criminal conspiracy. And it's sort of a wash, rinse, and repeat cycle. Democrat has a criminal or political problem. Hillary Clinton with emails, Hunter Biden with corruption, Joe Biden with classified documents. They get magically cleared, even though there's evidence suggesting they shouldn't be cleared. And then they project a similar problem on the Republican candidate, Donald Trump, for Russia collusion, which never existed. Donald Trump for Ukraine and interfering in Ukraine relations when there was a good reason to ask for an investigation. Donald Trump for documents at Mar-a-Lago after Joe Biden had his problem. You weaponize the judicial and intelligence system against one party and you use it to protect the other party. That would be an ongoing criminal conspiracy. It allows prosecutors to go back and charge crimes that occurred in 16, 17, and 18. And more significantly, you wouldn't have to necessarily bring this case in Washington, D.C., where a 90% Democratic jury pool doesn't seem to have any interest in holding Democrats accountable. You could put it in a place like Florida, where Donald Trump's home was raided by Jack Smith, who, as the court ultimately ruled, was improperly appointed. He wasn't even a legitimate special counsel. And you can make that one of the overt acts, put the grand jury in Florida where you have a much more centrist audience and perhaps get a fair hearing of this evidence. So that's the excitement. I think the FBI has done its part. It opened the predicated case. It's now up to Pam Bondi to assign a prosecutor and also to decide whether it would be better to do a special counsel since they would be investigating matters that their boss, Donald Trump, was a victim for. It would give a sense of credibility to maybe do special prosecutor and get that ball rolling.
When you look at also this new revelation related to potentially the FBI having almost their own compartmentalized department for things related to things like Russiagate, that that wasn't even really accessible to the FBI writ large, that Kash Patel has talked about, as well as Dan Bongino has talked about this. You look at this, and it seems to, at least in the public narrative, paint this picture that could seem like there was a conspiracy within the DOJ and the FBI to pull this off, and also that they didn't want this information readily available to those that conduct oversight. What are you hearing out of Congress as these revelations come forward for those that are supposed to be doing oversight of these agencies that were being hidden things that they have the right to?
Yeah, that's a great point. I had Senator Ron Johnson on. He and Senator Grassley were one of the early investigators of the Russia collusion caper, that as it turned out to be a completely bogus investigation. They got us the early text messages between Pete Strzok and Lisa Page, the lovebirds. He said yesterday, listen, I always thought there was a criminal effort to keep us in the dark, and I think we're beginning to see proof of it. And I think this discovery of this documents room, where super sensitive stuff was, according to Kash Patel, kept away from Congress, kept from the American public, stored in a room. And when Kash Patel finds those documents, it's right around the same time he opens up the conspiracy case. What does that tell you? What he read in that room made him think that this wasn't just incompetence. It wasn't just political meddling in election, that there was some criminal conspiracy. So he opens up the broader case. And now Attorney General Pam Bondi has an opportunity to do something, I think, quite historic.
Well, and this is something that we've had you on this broadcast for years about these issues, as your reporting has followed things within the Russia collusion scandal and the hoax that followed from that and other issues. You've been on top of this. You've had great sources at Just the News throughout the years on this. But this, I think there's some concern in the conservative base at this point when these cases, we start to finally get a taste of accountability for those that it's not like it was a secret to all of us that have followed it and you that have reported that this whole scheme existed. They clearly were moving in this way, and all the public evidence seemed to point towards that. But there seems to be almost fatigue within the political base when it comes to announcing these big things or doing this big work if you can't get it across the finish line. What are your thoughts, and what are you hearing about if it is something that is able to be turned over to a grand jury, if that's something they believe that they can take this case across the finish line?
Yeah, listen, I think you have identified a problem. Even the most fervent supporters of President Trump, the fervent supporters of returning to law and order, ending weaponization, they've been tired by the process because they got John Durham. John Durham brought some prosecutions, and a D.C. jury vindicated people who probably engaged in wrongdoing. So the frustration from that experience, the frustration that occurred in the sort of mishandling of the rollout of the Jeffrey Epstein documents, it creates some distrust in the base. Everybody who heard about this story on Monday got excited about it. Even grizzled old Russia Gate investigators saying, hey, this is a good idea. And I think the difference here is that you're not going to have to face a DC jury where your pool is 90% tainted in one direction, leaning in one direction for Democrats. That was John Durham's problem and Bill Barr's problem, and maybe impaneling that grand jury in that city and making that the venue. In this case, with Jack Smith's activities in Florida, you can move it to a more centrist state, a state where you have common sense people outside the beltway looking at this, not looking for political excuses not to do something, but just looking at the evidence fairly. You probably can get it. You also rewind the statute of limitations, one of the biggest concerns of the base. We let all these crimes expire, and that's true, except when you do a conspiracy case. So there's a lot there. There are two pieces of evidence that Donald Trump would have to declassify. They're not FBI or DOJ antiquities. They belong to the CIA, the NSA, and other sensitive agencies. But I want to tell you what they are, because they're the ignition point for that wash-rinse repeat cycle that I just laid out before. The first is a classified annex to the Justice Department Inspector General's review of the FBI's mishandling of the Hillary Clinton email case. That was the first scandal that started this. James Comey walks out and clears her, and he has no legal authority to clear, but he does it. But what we now know from a description of that classified annex from Senator Chuck Grassley is that that annex includes proof that the FBI, just before it cleared Hillary Clinton, had gotten brand new secret intelligence suggesting there was criminality involved, and the FBI chose not to investigate. They turned a blind eye and just waved a magic wand and exonerated her. Getting that declassified, whatever that is, an intercept from the NSA or a human from CIA, going to be very important so that it can be presented to a grand jury. If it remains classified, you can't give it to the grand jury. The second piece is around the same time, about a month or two later. So that intelligence comes in May, and then Hillary Clinton on July 5th, 2016 is exonerated. Then that same day, July 5th, 2016, Christopher Steele walks his dossier into the FBI. In mid-July, the intelligence committee intercepted something else. Intelligence showing that Hillary Clinton had personally approved a plan to concoct a Russia collusion scandal against Trump. Not a real one, a fake one, and put it into the system. After getting that intelligence, after John Brennan even briefed the president, FBI opens up on that very allegation and that very evidence, almost jaw-droppingly. The president would have to declassify that intelligence as well. Those two things being declassified would give a running start to a grand jury. It could be done in about a year. I think they could wrap up all the work in a year.
John, we only got about a minute left. I just want to give you an opportunity. There's a lot of people watching right now. So there's a lot of great comments coming in saying, I need to be following Just the News. I need to be following what you're doing. What's the best way for people to do that? And, of course, I'm sure as you have been uncovering a lot of this and your team has been, that this story is not going any way or going anywhere from your team.
Yeah, it's not. We've got a whole team on it. My Jerry Dunleavy, Steve Richards, myself, justthenews.com. My social media is Jay Solomon Reports on all platforms. And I have the Just the News No Noise television show on Real America's Voice every night at 6 o'clock. Those are our best points of contact.
Awesome. Thank you, John. It's always great to have you on. Again, it's always good to have people in the news who you can trust, have good sources. And John's always one of those. When we're looking at what we're going to cover for the day, Just the News is one of the first places we go to make sure that if there's something's breaking, he's got some really interesting content. I mean, this was broken by his team. It always does great stuff. And we have a packed show coming up. So I want to make sure you stay tuned. Because like I said, today, I really want to encourage you, if you like this show, and there's so many of you watching right now, if you've never seen us before, which I know about half of you maybe haven't, hit that subscribe button if you're watching on YouTube or you're watching on Rumble. Join us each and every day, Monday through Friday, 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time, or catch us later on. You can watch the re-air. Most people do watch it, not live, but I encourage you to be part of the conversation live. Get to get chat. You can call in. Do that. Join us each and every day. If you've never done that before, hit that subscribe button. If you have been a longtime viewer and supporter, know that this show and the ACLJ in general is not funded by major sponsors or even by major donors. It's individual people like you that can give at one time or can give on a monthly basis. And during these special months, like today, during our 35 years of Justice Drive, all donations are doubled. So if you give $10, it becomes effectively $20 because it unlocks another $10 pledge. I'm going to ask you to do that today in honor of this show, in honor of the media we provide to you each and every day. Let's have a big day to support what we're doing here. Of course, tax deductible. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation. They're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. Mike Pompeo is joining us right now, Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, and of course, a former secretary. So many things. We've had him on every week for so many years now. It's just great to always have Secretary Pompeo. Of course, we are discussing still what's going on with the ongoing situation with Russia and Ukraine, and you think after a few years we wouldn't be having to talk about it, but unfortunately we still are. But there's been a lot of movement, and we discussed this with you. Will, why don't you take the first question here, and then I want to follow up with you, Secretary Pompeo, because we talked yesterday about what are the motives? What has maybe changed President Trump's mind somewhat? We may have some answers to that. We may have a peek behind the curtain, if you will.
That's right. Yes, as we were talking with you on air, you didn't really have time to look at it. We didn't really have time to look at it because it was kind of unfolding in real time, and so we got initial, you know, first blush reactions. But now that we've had some time, we've also seen that Russia has said that the ceasefire ultimatum is unacceptable and the tariff threat. And I just kind of wanted to get your thought with their response, and now that you've had some time to reflect on what is unfolding with this new pressure from the president on the Russians.
Well, you're right. We were talking the immediate aftermath of the president's press conference yesterday, and now 24 hours later, we've seen the Russians respond. It's not surprising what they said. They said, "Look, this is unacceptable. We will never do anything in response to this. That is, we're not going to kowtow to the United States." But the reality is that President Putin will be left with an incredibly difficult set of decisions. He can now see that the Ukrainians are going to be able to defend themselves. That is, Ukrainian civilians are going to die less frequently as a result of the weapon systems that will now be moved into Ukraine. That's going to happen. Second, President Trump has now said, we're going to strangle the Russian energy economy. The Russians have been selling crude oil. President Biden allowed them to do this for 2.5 years during the war to the Indians. So these are American allies. And President Trump has said, we're not going to do that. We're going to put a massive tariff on. We're going to shut down the Russian engine for its economy. That's what funds this war. And so Putin will be ultimately faced with a very difficult decision. Do I press my luck? And do I challenge President Trump thinking he'll back down? Or do I recognize that this is not a guy who backs down? The Iranian regime learned that. Assad in Syria, who's now gone, has learned that. They can all see that President Trump is a serious man when he is protecting American interests. And so we will see in the coming days and weeks if the Russians' position doesn't soften and they don't begin to understand that they now are facing a really different leader in the United States than they have been for the first couple, 3 years of their war of aggression.
Absolutely, Secretary Pompeo. Hey, I want to tell you all, phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you in the next segment, so give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Before I ask you your next question, though, Secretary Pompeo, we had that conversation. It seems like President Trump's mind's changed. What happened here? What is sort of the change in direction that came from dealing with thinking, you know, this could be something that could be settled very quickly to all of a sudden really calling out Vladimir Putin for what he is? And again, yesterday we were able to see, or was this? Yeah, it was yesterday, a little bit of peek behind the curtain as President Trump had a conversation with his wife, with Melania, the first lady. And of course, this is a bit humorous, but it also is a bit eye-opening to really what we're dealing with here. Because you have President Trump, who is that sort of ultimate businessman, goes in, like you said, negotiates, and maybe will take some people by their word, but learned pretty swiftly, once again, that Vladimir Putin is not one of those guys. Let's hear from President Trump.
I'd get home, I'd say, First Lady, I had the most wonderful talk with Vladimir. I think we're finished. And then I'll turn on the television, or she'll say to me one time, wow, that's strange, because they just bombed a nursing home. I said, what? So
of course, you know, that's a humorous little aside, but it's just, it's true. It's what's happened. It clearly is President Trump is having these, what he thinks are, or what he thought were, productive meetings and conversations with Vladimir Putin. And immediately, and look, I think we saw this in Iran and Israel. We've seen this so many times over, which is people who you're dealing with, this is not your normal business discussions. Even in a world stage, like you said, this is a convincing guy who can lie to your face without a problem.
Yes, no doubt about that. He is clever. He can look you straight in the eye and evince enormous credibility. Three things that come to mind. First, we all talk to our wives. They have that sounded very heartfelt to me. Mm-hmm. Second, I think President Trump is someone who genuinely wants to assume the best about people. He wanted to believe that he would come into office and President Putin would see that this wasn't something that was going to be productive for him and that the costs would exceed the benefits. And to date, that hasn't been true. And so President Trump gave him all the leash to run out, and he's now run that leash out. And I think the line is about to be reeled back in on Putin. And the final thought is this. The combination of economic power and the willingness to sell these weapons to NATO so that they can provide defensive systems to Ukraine sets the conditions for an opportunity for Putin to reconsider, right? This actually resets the leverage cycle. Make no mistake about it, in my view, if Putin doesn't come to heel, if he doesn't see that a ceasefire is in his best interest as a result of these actions, there'll be more. President Trump is determined to bring peace, to get the guns to go quiet, and he will continue to ratchet up the costs on Vladimir Putin. Whether Putin believes that or not today, I don't know. I believe he'll come to see it if he doesn't see his way towards bringing peace to the region.
We've only got about a minute left in this segment, Mr. Secretary, but one thing I also wanted to bring up was that we've seen what President Trump's been willing to do in this this second term, and we know that when he gives a red line or gives you a deadline, he actually means that, opposed to, we've heard red lines before from presidents, whether it be President Obama with Syria, the red line meant nothing. President Biden told world leaders very passionately, don't, and that was supposed to be a red line, don't do something or else there'll be consequences. But if even the Iranian situation where he gave a 60-day deadline, 61st day, Israel started bombing. Not saying that we would necessarily use kinetic power on our own, the United States, but he has now set a red line. He's given 50 days. What should we take from that, that now there is a tangible line item or action point in this discussion?
Well, look, we all need to be mindful. Vladimir Putin still, in spite of the failures in Ukraine, still has a nuclear weapon system capable force. So we ought not forget that. And that's different from some of these other adversaries. But I would argue President Trump isn't different. His determination to bring peace to the region, to stop the aggression from Vladimir Putin, is the very same determination that deterred Vladimir Putin for 4 years and where he didn't roll into Europe. This is so fundamentally different. And so I think the pressure will continue to mount. I don't think it'll be U.S. kinetic in the same way it was in Iran, but there are still many tools in the toolkit that President Trump has available, and I'm confident he'll bring them to bear to deliver on the promises he made to the American people to end this war.
Secretary Pompeo, thank you so much for joining us. And again, like I said, if you like this broadcast, if you like the analysis we're able to bring you, I mean, we've had a packed show today with Secretary Pompeo, John Solomon later on, Rick Grinnell, of course, Will, myself, and you guys who are all on hold. We have two lines open, by the way, 1-800-684-3110. We can't do this show without you. We're not funded by major sponsors, which is, by the way, great. We're beholden to no one. We are only beholden to you, the audience. And of course, you know, like I said, to our listenership, but there's no one telling us what we can or cannot say here. That is true independent media. And that doesn't exist without you. So today, during this 35 years of Justice Drive, I want you to think about the 25 years we've been on the air, but what this could look like moving forward. As we know that our numbers, just in the last 90 days, heck, even in the last 30 days, have gained millions and millions of new eyeballs. New people who are watching this show, who are being exposed to the truth. And it doesn't happen without you, because we can't put on such a high-quality production without each and every one of you. So I encourage you today, if you've been enjoying this show, give a little bit if you can. Go to aclj.org/35. Or just go to aclj.org. Make a donation today. Let's do it. Be a part of this conversation. Second half hour coming right up.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights and standing for freedom. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Phone lines are open for you as we head into this second half hour of Seculo Live right now on YouTube, on Rumble, on ACLJ.org, the Salem News Channel, all across the country, worldwide, also on terrestrial radio, if you're joining us right now, or satellite radio as well, on Sirius XM. I encourage you to support this show. I've been saying it, I'm going to say it. Today's a special day. I want to show our team that you mean business, that you care about what we do here. That yes, you do care about the legal work of the ACLJ. You care about all of that, and it's very important. It's immensely important. But that we are here to provide you with top-notch programming. And it shouldn't go away. And it can only not go away, by the way. It can only stick around if people like you support. So like I said, I'm earmarking all donations today. And I'm going to send it to our team and say, look, this is why it's important. Because we see how many more of you are joining us each and every day. Like I said, on YouTube alone, over 506,000 subscribers. By the way, subscriber count doesn't even come close to the amount of people that actually watch our content. You're talking about millions and millions and millions of people that watch our content with no paywalls. We want to be always able to provide our content with no paywalls, no logins. You're just able to join the conversation, send it to your friends, be get informed as much as you can by top people, whether we just had on a former Secretary of State. Coming up later on, we're going to have former Ambassador to Germany, former Director of National Intelligence, Rick Grinnell, who's on the show each and every week as well. And of course, we had John Solomon from Just the News. You have Will and I and a great team of producers who are on the other side of the glass here who work so hard in making this show one of the biggest on any platforms. And we appreciate it. We appreciate it so much. But again, we can't do it without you. You don't hear ad reads during our shows. There's a reason. If you are hearing an ad, doesn't go to us. I mean, a little bit of the YouTube ads, I guess, technically go to the organization. But other than that, that's a very, very small amount. But if you're hearing it on your local station, no, that goes to your local station or to the network. All of our support comes through ACLJ.org. That's the only way this show happens. So again, do it today. ACLJ.org. And let me know in the chat or give me a call if you do make that donation. And of course, if you become an ACLJ champion, that's someone that gives on a monthly recurring basis. What's great about that is it gives us a great baseline. But also, if you call in, you tell our phone screener that, they confirm it, you get popped to the front of the line.
Well, and to your point also, Logan, about our commitment to being independent, to being available and accessible to everyone and not behind a paywall, that is a reason why we broadcast live, not just on YouTube, not just on Rumble, but we are on X. We're on Facebook. We're on Salem News Channel. Yeah. We're on some smaller networks that pick up the show because we have a commitment to getting it out there in as many places as possible. You could strategize to have a better YouTube base and better audience, but instead we've made that choice.
Yeah,
we've
had those offers.
We want people to see this content, to hear this content without being behind a paywall because what we bring you, the truth we bring you, the cases we fight, it's important. And it's important you know this and be armed with the arguments when you go out into the world, into your workplace, to know how to talk about these issues and know the facts and trust that they're coming from a trusted source.
I love you're asking questions about the topic of the day. I know some of you are just joining us right now. We only got about a minute in this segment. I want to very quickly actually take a call. David, you've been on hold for a long time, so I want to go ahead and take you. David, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. My question is two-part, actually. One is with the Democrats, if there was really a scheme with what Akash Patel says, Democrats did a really bad job in 2016 and 2024 propping up their candidates. So, you know, Hillary Clinton lost. Joe Biden, even in fact, they ran him. Oh, they lost, right? And then my other question is this. Do Republicans with the DOJ have some degree of problems with that too, just because of they did take over in 2017. Yeah.
I am only cutting you off because we are legitimately running out of time. Thought that was going to be a little bit quicker. When we get back from the break, I will make sure we cover your question in its entirety. So we have it saved. So thank you for calling, David. But again, we're going to run out of time to do this. But Will, this is one of the stories. Real quick, we have 20 seconds left. There is news coming out, and if you haven't seen, you should check out our friend John Solomon's Just the News Report, because right now there are so many updates coming in. But we will be back in just a moment here, and we'll be back with Rick Grinnell, and we're going to answer David's question. If you're on hold, stay on hold as well. We're going to get to you coming up at 1-800-684-3110. If you want to keep David on hold, you can. We'll be right back.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation. They're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Rick Grinnell is joining us. I did want to quickly answer a caller that came in earlier. David was asking specifically about, will this, what seems to be potential or not potential, cover-up that was going on. Rick, I know he's got a lot to say about that as well, but you want to give him a quick answer.
Right. So David asked one, it basically was saying, if Democrats were involved in the cover-up of what seemed to be an elaborate conspiracy starting back in 2015 all the way to today, that we know that based off John Solomon's reporting that the FBI is now investigating this as a grand conspiracy with the likes of Comey and John Brennan, if they did participate in this cover-up, they did a horrible job because they selected poor candidates. Agree with you there, David, but that also maybe is why they needed an elaborate conspiracy to try and get them to win. But the second part is that he asked if the Trump officials in 2017 were also involved potentially in some sort of grand conspiracy. Yeah. Here's what I would say about that, because we've lived this for a long time. The big early mistakes, and Comey even admitted he capitalized on the incoming green team that was coming in from President Trump. That's why he sent spies in to spy on General Flynn. It's why he leaked to try and get a special counsel, because he knew he could manipulate the system. So one of the big unforced errors, I think, in when we look back on history is Attorney General Sessions recusing himself early on. A lot of people were scared because Comey was coming very aggressively with this Russiagate hoax. And what we saw was the attorney general said, I'm going to recuse myself from this. And then after Comey's leak, it triggered a special counsel. So that would not have been the Trump team that had anything to do with the Russiagate hoax in that way. So I hope that answers your question, David.
I think it does, David. Thank you for calling. Again, phone lines are open. Rick Grinnell's joining us right now. Rick, kind of connected. You put out a post on X that said, one thing I know for sure, Pam Bondi and Kash Patel would never cover up a crime. Never. It's absurd to think they would. Of course, not necessarily directly involved with this, but hey, I figure that was a good connective tissue here from that caller. But I want to get your thoughts on all that.
Well, look, I think it's the point stands is that I know Pam and I know Cash and they would never cover up anything. We're dealing with, you know, the Biden administration and all of their cover ups and their lack of transparency and their political game playing. And we're having to deal with that. And I think that the team that's in place right now is trying to make sure that we go back and really prosecute the people who started all of this chaos in Washington, D.C. by making individuals not accountable. I mean, we know, I was DNI and I unearthed a whole bunch of information and declassified other information. And what we tried to do is be very transparent to show that the crowd that was going after President Trump in the very beginning in 2017 and really the end of 2016, that crowd needs to be prosecuted. They used intelligence and they manipulated the entire process. And so I like having accountability. I like going after the individuals who I would say really ruined the trust that many people had in government. We now can't trust government agencies in a way that we might have trusted them in the past. But when they go after the president of the United States, they make up information about him. They try to call him a Russian asset. And they did it in a way that they abused the courts, they abused intelligence. And, you know, we've known this, and the media is the last group to come around to recognize it. But I want those people to be held to account.
Rick, often you say you like it if we take calls when you're on or get messages from the audience. But this is from one of our folks on Rumble that I wanted to bring up to you because it happens to do with your state, one of maybe your elected officials there in the Senate. And that is Adam Schiff. There's now some allegations that he may have read the playbook from Letitia James, who was trying to game the system and get more favorable mortgages by claiming residence in a different state of where she was the attorney general. There's report that there's been a criminal referral or at least an investigation that Adam Schiff may have done something very similar. And we're starting to see this pattern of people that went after the president that said we're a country of law and order and that no one is above the law. But they seem to use their position to game the system to get more favorable perks or mortgage rates or what have you, thereby ignoring the law that we all are subject to and should follow. And I just want to get your take on this, as Adam Schiff has been one of the loudest antagonists of the president, and now it seems like scrutiny is looking back at him.
Well, again, as former DNI, I can tell you I've seen the evidence that Adam Schiff is a liar. He lies just to get political gain. He certainly did it with the Russian intelligence. He did it with President Trump. I've seen it. Adam Schiff is an absolute liar. And now what we're finding out is that he lies within his daily life of trying to get a mortgage. What else is he lying about? Because I think he has a real hard time understanding what the truth is because he's so political. He will lie just to help himself get ahead politically. And clearly that's what he did on mortgages, pretending like, you know, he's not a DC resident. He's a California person so that he can run for the Senate and have domicile in a certain place. But he manipulates the process when he's filling out paperwork, lying about what he says publicly. And so I don't know if we know who he is. And I don't know if he's very comfortable with knowing who he is because he seems really comfortable with lying publicly and pretending like other people are to blame.
Rick, final topic here for you today. I know we're throwing a lot at you, but we always appreciate you being able to bounce from one topic to the other. But this is the news that came out yesterday where President Trump was meeting with the Secretary General of NATO and was announcing the very strategic way that arms can go to the Ukrainians, as well as putting a red line for Russia of 50 days. We've heard similar things with the red line he gave to the Iranians, that they had 60 days. And then we saw what happened on day 61. But I just wanted to get your analysis, your take on this about the president's negotiating tactics. Clearly, he's fed up with the games that Vladimir Putin is playing with the world and what you think can be the outcome of this Trump style diplomacy that we're seeing play out.
You know, within the world of foreign policy, we talk a lot about the importance of having a credible threat, not just a threat. And Donald Trump has an incredible, credible threat. And we know that because our friends and our allies and others actually understand that when Donald Trump says something, he means it and that he's probably going to do it. Unless there's some factual change. And the great thing about President Trump is that he's living in the moment. He's watching what's happening. And so he can adjust in real time. And that's what one of the things that I love about his negotiation style. But what President Trump has now said is there's 50 days to get this together. And that I thought one of the best lines that President Trump used is, you know, the Russians are saying one thing, but it looks like their actions are something else. And I think there's a big frustration because I can tell you unequivocally that Donald Trump wants to bring peace. He wants to avoid wars. And so he's doing everything he can to muscle in peace. And this is now just the latest tactic where he's got to give a deadline. He's got to tell the Russians, you need to be more truthful about what you want because President Trump means business.
Rick, we got a lot of people watching right now, and I can always tell when it's brand new people because I can tell in the comments. One of the things that we are focusing on today, we're doing this 35 years of Justice Drive, promoting 35 years of the ACLJ, but today I'm focused actually on this broadcast because a lot of people tune in each and every day, or they tune in each week to hear from you a couple times or some of our other great commentators, people who are part of the ACLJ team, part of the Seculo commentary group, because it's important also to have independent sources for media. And that's today is what I've been promoting is, look, you may love the legal work we do, and that's great. You should give for the legal work. But there are also opportunities here because we know we don't do it with a paywall. We don't do it with sponsors. We only got a minute left here, Rick. But I know that it's important for you, obviously, to have a voice, too, in terms of being able to get out there with no one above you saying what you can and can't say, which is what a lot of the mainstream media has.
Look, the ACLJ family is huge. It's across the nation. It's a lot of believers. It's a lot of people who want truth. And I'm so excited to be a part of it because we actually don't just do the news. We actually take action and try to hold people to account, try to demand transparency through our lawyers and through our activists. And so I think people should be a part of it. If you're listening, you should be a part of our family and join the ACLJ because we take our words and our beliefs and we put them into action.
Thank you so much, Rick. Obviously, you can do that at ACLJ.org. We do have a couple phone lines open for you. Love to hear from you as well. You can give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. You can have your gifts doubled today during this, again, 35 years of Justice Drive. That's at ACLJ.org/35. We'll get into more of what the ACLJ is doing in the next segment. Coming right up. Thanks, Rick.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation. They're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, Go to aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Secula. We got a couple lines still open at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Again, supporting ACLJ's 35 years of justice drives, important time. Please be a part of it if you can. Let's jump to some calls. Some of you have been on hold for nearly half an hour. No, we appreciate it. Let's first go to Brian, who's calling in Virginia. I was listening on the radio. Brian, welcome.
Hey, love you guys. Love Rick Grinnell and Mike Pompeo, too.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it.
And I love President Trump, but I just wish, you know, I believe he's being played by the Russians. I don't know what it is. I heard in some comment that he said he thought that President Putin was a stand-up guy at one point. But he's an evil dictator that just wants to expand Russia. So the whole point is, I'm not happy to hear he's giving a 50-day deadline, because he's given previous deadlines.
Yeah, saying, Brian, I understand. Look, I think that what we heard from even from Mike Pompeo is that Vladimir Putin is, you don't get to these positions in power if you aren't a convincing person, if you're not a convincing liar even. And what you've seen is that, yeah, do I think he's played President Trump a little bit? I think President Trump realizes that he is not a man of his word. We actually saw that in the comment that he made that was kind of offhanded about how he walked in, saw Melania and said, hey, guess what? Had a great call with Vladimir. It seems like this is going to be over. And she's like, oh, look, they bombed another nursing home. That's kind of funny, but it's really not, because what it shows you is you can't play that game. So I understand that, Brian. I understand feeling that concern that President Trump could be manipulated, if you will be. I don't think that's what's happening, but I do understand the concern.
Well, and I think also some of the comments that President Trump will say about his adversaries aren't always, like, when he says, like, he's a stand-up guy, a real smart, well, you know,
to butter him up.
A lot of it is flattery. And so that's kind of his tactic that he uses a lot of times.
Think about Kim Jong-un and some of the ways he spoke about him. It was like, yeah, they're not the ways you typically be speaking about this. And we all know that's really not the truth. But if he can bring peace, it looks like he's willing to do it.
And the one other thing I'd add to that before we go to other calls is that, Brian, I understand that, yes, it could seem like Putin is doing a delay tactic. But what we did see is that Putin invaded under the Biden administration because they knew they could. They drug that war out for the entire presidency of President Biden because they knew they could. So, yes, maybe they're exploiting deadlines and timelines. But I think that the best opportunity that we do have to end killing of innocent people and war, which no one at the end of the day really wants, is we should maybe see how it plays out. Yeah. Because at least it's different than what the previous guy did.
Thanks for calling. Bill's up next in Wyoming. And again, a few lines are open. This will be the last chance to call in at 1-800-684-3110. Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'm pretty sure my monthly donation has finally gotten in by now. I got a what-if question. Maybe the Democrats had finally won the election. Do you think maybe all this information that they're finding through the FBI and about Comey and those guys could have gone the same way as Hillary's emails, in fact, have gone into the ether?
I think that it's remarkable that they had all this and then did keep it, but did try to hide it. I mean, that shows some hubris there.
Yeah, they couldn't find any bleach bit.
Right. They thought that they would keep winning, and so they didn't have to get rid of this evidence. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you, Bill. Yeah, I don't think that we would have ever seen the light of day, and they clearly didn't want it to.
David Frost once said, well, why didn't you burn the tapes?
It's a good question.
All right. Thank you, Bill, for calling. I think there's – don't put anything past anyone in politics on either side of this. Let's go to Cambria, who is a ACLJ champion. So you get bumped to the front in Utah. You're on the air. Thanks again for being a champion.
Oh, it's my blessing. And thank you for taking the call.
Of course.
I don't know what the prior conversation was because I missed it, but I have a feeling it might be similar. But my concern is with all the scandal, so to speak, over Epstein.
Yeah.
It's going to influence, may or may not, I don't know, but it might taint all the other ones they're going through unless they clear that all up. Because I love Don Dan Bongino, and I trust him more than Bondi at this point. So they want to win those who agree with that opinion over. They can't skate over it, whether they like it or not.
Yeah, Cambria, look, this has been a major PR nightmare, if you will, for that administration, for the administration in general, for whether that's Pam Bondi, whether that's Dan Bongino, whether that's Kash Patel. Now, you had Rick Grenell on here saying, look, I know both of them really well. I can't imagine they would do anything to cover up. We've worked with both of them over the years, feel like they're stand-up people. So I have nothing bad to say about either of them. I will say this was a bad PR move. The rollout was horrendous. When you have someone going out there saying it's coming any day, it's coming any day, and then there was clearly infighting. Then there was clearly, remember, there was Kash Patel putting out a statement after Pam Bondi said it was coming, then it didn't come, and then it doesn't exist. And then President Trump even saying, hey, we got to move on from this topic. I don't necessarily disagree that there are more important things in America to be talking about. And sure, that was during the moment of the Texas floods. Yeah, to me, that is more important. That's life or death, what's happening right now for the people in Texas. That is what should be on the top of your mind. But I understand feeling like you were led astray in that one. And now they're trying to say, no one cares about it. No one talks about it. Look over here. It shouldn't be something that I feel like dominates our news. And really, it doesn't change the way I feel specifically about Pam Bondi or Dan Bongino or Kash Patel or President Trump, for that matter. But I understand that it's one of those moments where you cringe at least at the rollout.
Well, and we know one of the biggest things that Dan Bongino cared about and talked about was restoring the reputation of the FBI. And I think, one, we saw reports that he was back in office yesterday, so it wasn't like that he had resigned. We don't know firsthand what the status of any of that is. But I will say is that from an outsider's perspective, looking at this, that if his big thing is restoring the reputation of the FBI, that PR blunder definitely harmed the reputation of the FBI. And so I can see why he's upset. Not necessarily what people may think, that Pam Bondi is covering up something and won't let Dan Bongino release it. I think it is more that he really believes in the mission that he's there to do. Yeah. And if that's harmed, then he's frustrated. And I get that.
All right, let's take one more call. Joy, I know it's a little off topic, but just quickly, we only got a minute left. So if you could go ahead quickly with your question, we'll answer it real fast.
Do you mean Joy or Julie?
Joy, you're on. I can hear you.
Okay. I'm wondering why, since the Supreme Court ruled that our president, that the lower court judges cannot interfere with the agenda of the president, they still seem to be the lower court judges still seem to be doing
it. Got it,
so,
Joy. And why is that happening? Because they figured out some loopholes. They figured out ways around it. And look, Justice Alito said he even sort of predicted that this would happen because they are changing the ways they are doing their lawsuits.
Well, the individuals, when it comes to the birthright citizenship case, turned it into a class action suit, and the judge certified the class. Now, we'll see if that he went through the process that is laid before in the federal rules. And if he did, then that is technically the process that can happen. But we'll also see if he didn't go through that rigorous process, whether or not it will be upheld in the appeal. But there are class action suits. Those do exist. That is in the federal rules of procedures. So that is one way.
So that's
but
one way they're getting around.
They're going to try to do it more and more.
We only got 20 seconds left. It's media day here at the ACLJ. I've claimed it that. For those of you that enjoy this broadcast, go to ACLJ.org, make your donation. Again, if it's coming in during this show, I'll make sure that it is marked and our team knows that it goes specifically for the support of our incredible media team. Go to ACLJ.org/35, scan the QR code. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights and standing for freedom. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to ACLJ.org.